Our scripture reading for today is 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. See, I told you, you got me all discombobulated. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 of them fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, and do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the end of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you don't fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with that testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord. So I've titled this sermon, Clearing Up a Misunderstanding, because as I read a passage like that, one, the passage is fraught with some intense language about wrath and about, you know, God coming after people for doing different things. And then it ends with what is easily one of the most misunderstood and misquoted verses in the Bible, that one where that God will not allow you to be tested beyond which you are able. It's so often I hear people that are going through intense struggles, terrifying experiences of their life. And the way that I come to them and want to listen and want to engage them, because I'm sure that their heart is broken and that they're struggling, and they'll say, well, but God will never give me anything I can't handle. And they're quoting this verse. It's a misquote of this verse. And I'm going to give you the end before the beginning, is that sometimes in life, we get more than we can handle. Sometimes in life, we get things that are beyond our capacity to carry it alone. God has never called us, nor does God give us things arbitrarily, terrible things into our lives, in order to test us or to try us, or because we've got strong shoulders, God is going to give us a terrible situation, a terrible loss, a terrible disease, a terrible hardship. God doesn't bring that stuff into our lives, and that is not what this passage is about. In fact, this passage is about quite the opposite. It's about the good things that God brings into our lives and our call to follow in those good things. All right, so I told you the last chapter of the story. Let me jump back. I don't know. I grew up in Missouri. So all over Missouri, it's Route 66 land. So all over Missouri are signs of roadside attractions, things that as you're traveling along the highway, things that you don't want to miss, things that are amazing and spectacular and fun for the whole family. It's all over the place in that neck of the woods. One of my favorites is a Merrimack Cavern. which about every couple miles, there's a sign for Merrimack Caverns. And sometimes there's signs painted on barns. Sometimes they're on silos. Sometimes they're billboards. And then as you pass the exit for Merrimack Caverns, it says, "You missed it. Turn around at the next exit and come on back." Billboards. And sometimes I love traveling by billboard because there's always something interesting to see. One of the closest memory that I've had to traveling by billboard is a trip I took with my boys. We were going to Montreal for a weekend and just kind of go up, and we had a little hostel up there. We're going to walk around Montreal and just have a good time. As we're driving through the Adirondacks, we see a billboard that says Buffalo Ranch. And we're like, Buffalo Ranch? That sounds awesome. Then there's another billboard, Buffalo Ranch. Like, next exit, we're like, "Do you guys want to go see a Buffalo Ranch?" And everybody, of course, in the car is like, "Absolutely, we want to go see a Buffalo Ranch." Go off the exit, travel through the mountains, quite a distance, traveling through the mountains until we're getting to Buffalo Ranch. Every once in a while, there's a small sign. It's like, "Buffalo Ranch, this way." Like, come on. And we get there to where Buffalo Ranch, the location of Buffalo Ranch, pull off. It's not even a parking lot. We pull kind of off the side of the road. And there it is, Buffalo Ranch. And we know it's Buffalo Ranch because way in the distance, we can see a few buffalo walking along the side of the road. But thankfully, Buffalo Ranch was equipped with those big silver binoculars that you put quarters in so you can look and see the buffalo that are impossibly far away somewhere on the mountainside. But thank goodness there was a gift shop there at Buffalo Ranch, so that you could walk through and see what maybe you could have seen if you were allowed to actually go on Buffalo Ranch. You know, some of the things that you come off the side to see are a little bit disappointing. You know this, right? But you take them anyway, because trips are long. You get tired. You're hungry. You're super bored. If you're traveling with kids, there's might be some fighting in the back seat. Like, if I have to come back there, we're going to pull over. And the kids are like, "Please pull over." That is all we're wanting to do. And you see signs, and there's some things you know are going to be disappointing. Like the world's largest ball of paint. It's a real thing. The world's largest ball of paint is in Indiana. It's a guy that started painting a baseball and has just kept painting it. And it is literally a room-sized ball of paint that at the center is a baseball that he just keeps painting. Or the world's largest ball of string. That is a real thing. Back in my home state that I was telling you about, there is the Nuclear Waste Adventure Park. I'm serious. This is a real thing in Missouri. No, it's right. It should come with its own theme. It's the Nuclear Waste Adventure Park. It's in Weldon Spring, Missouri, which I went to as a kid. It's right outside St. Louis. Went to as a kid to fish in Weldon Spring. Maybe explains a lot. But it's a uranium processing plant that closed in 1966. And then somewhere in the late 90s, they decided, the EPA decided that they should probably do something about this. And they covered it with a giant pile of rocks. Right. Yeah, you all are thinking there's more of the story. There's not. It's a giant pile of rocks on top of radioactive uranium in Missouri, and asbestos and radium and all kinds of things that are there. But you can actually go, and you can go to the adventure park, and there are trails you can climb up onto the pile of rocks. And you know what it is? It's a pile of rocks. But there is a gift shop. There's always a gift shop. You know, my favorite, this is certainly the most notorious spot in my opinion, the mystery spot. The mystery spot in Michigan. Anybody been to the mystery spot? No. Okay, if you're traveling through Michigan, you will see something called the mystery spot. Lots of signs. Mystery spot is there. This is incredible. Can't miss it. Ooh, it's so mysterious. Like, you've got to go. And you pull off into the mystery spot. And after you pay your $9 to walk down the trail to the mystery spot, they have built basically tilt houses out there that, like, often perspective, because they're supposed to say, "Isn't this so mysterious?" Yeah. And you just paid $9 for this to go back there, and it's nothing but poorly built houses that you can go back there and you can walk in and go, look at this. If I walk down here, it looks like I'm getting bigger, but I'm not. And it's not. It's terrible. But there are other things on the mystery spot. There are miniature golf courses and zip lines. Granted, they all cost extra. And you can buy tickets for these things at the gift shop. Of course, of course. You can buy them at the gift shop. There's always a gift shop. These attractions are silly, and truly, you make your own fun. You leave a little poorer, a little disappointed, and a little later in your journey. But hopefully, at best, you've had some good laughs. You've tried on some silly hats, and you know, you're talking about stories, and you've got some great pictures for Instagram, and those are fun. But life's distractions are not always so friendly, are they? You know, in our passage, we hear about God's people. And that's a passage that sometimes is hard to read because, again, it feels like a passage that is about God coming after people. And we don't like to read passage like that. These are people that are on a journey. And really, they are on the ultimate journey. They are on a journey from slavery to freedom. And not just freedom, but a life of prosperity, of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place that they can call their own and they can build a real life and create things that they pass along to their children and their grandchildren for generations to come. This is the land of their fathers and their grandfathers, their ancestors, and they are on their way from a place of despair to a place of promise. This is the journey that they're on, but like some of our car rides, the journey feels long, and they're getting hungry and tired and scared and bored. God's presence was there, but God's presence was so common that often it faded into the background, and some people turned off from the journey, and they lost their way. That's what this passage is about. This passage is about God's grace and God's care and how sometimes, no matter how full the blessings of our life is, we get distracted and we lose our way. I imagine there's few of us in this room that have not done this or experienced this. We're headed someplace, life is good, but then the weariness of the journey sets in, our bank account starts to struggle, there are tensions at home or at work. Maybe we're a little bored. And a road sign catches our eye. It's sparkly and shiny and it's all neon. And we take the exit and we find the attraction disappointing, as exciting as it was to go there. And for a few moments, it felt thrilling and fun. It was different than our regular life. But then we no longer know the way back to the road. Our traveling companions, many of them have moved on, and it takes us years to find the road again. Sometimes we never do, and we just forge a new journey altogether. I've been on that road. Your legs get cut out from underneath of you because something caught your eye and you went another direction. And it takes years of rebuilding to rediscover God's grace and your own identity again. When we see Jesus during this Lenten season in the wild, resisting temptation in the desert, I never want us to see as someone stoically ignoring the flashy road signs that the tempter was giving him. All these things Jesus was tempted with would have been welcome at this point in his journey. He was hungry. Turn these stones to bread. That would have been fantastic. The assurance of God's presence when you're in the wilderness and you don't see God's presence and you feel tempted to say, if I jump off this cliff, that the scriptures say God will catch me, and that'll at least prove that God is actually here. Jesus was also tempted with power without the way of the cross. I can give you all these kingdoms, and maybe Jesus thought that'd be great. I can maybe turn it into the kind of world that it's supposed to be, but that wasn't the journey. Jesus was on a journey where the world could not afford his distraction, and so he went to the wilderness so that he could endure and join us on our journey. Because the one who walks with us is not someone who does not understand, but someone who has walked where we walk and has chosen to stay the course and is the whole time walking with us and saying to us, you can stay the course. We all struggle staying faithful to the call to the promised land in our own lives. In fact, in every service, we have a time we call the prayer confession because your ministers who love you believe that somewhere along the way this week that you stumbled and fell in your journey and you need to reconnect. It's not because we don't believe in you, but because we know ourselves that we need these moments of reconnection, of remembering the grace of God and remembering the journey that we were on to begin with. But that's why our community exists. Life is hard enough without traveling alone. And that's what this final verse is about. This final verse tells us that God is going to provide you everything you need for this journey that you are being called to take. This passage is saying that God is not going to allow those distracting road signs to be more than your capacity to handle, that God has provided people. God has provided that song on the radio. God has provided the love that's inside of your heart. God has provided the memory of those people that you are responsible to. God is not trying to trip you up so God can laugh at you. He's provided everything you need so that you can go where you want to go toward the promised land. This family will be with you along the journey. When you feel like you can't go another mile, somebody will start that alphabet game. You know that alphabet game when you're traveling going, okay, I found an A, and then somebody tries to find a B, and then C. You know the game I'm talking about, right? That allows you to go another mile or see how many license plate signs that you can find from different states along the way. Or somebody says, ooh, that song that's coming on the radio, I haven't heard that in forever, and they turn it up and everybody starts singing. Or when somebody sees, hey, that road sign, mystery spot, that looks interesting, somebody else in the car can go, oh, no, 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 I've been to the mystery spot and it's no good, but I know of a better place. Let's go there. See, our Lenten journey is not about just resisting temptations. You know, it's not about what we don't do. It's about what we as a community are being invited to. It's about being faithful to a better place, a better life, a better love. And Lent is about remembering who we really are and recommitting ourselves to the highway that we are on and the family that travels with us. Travel well. Amen. The hymn is